al primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick a Pop Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's TheSamD. Use the hashtag PickAPop when searching for the show on Twitter. Use the hashtag PickAndPop to communicate. Send me your thoughts and feedback. Use the hashtag PickAPop. SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports where you can find the show posted up on SoundCloud. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. Search for the Pick and Pop podcast. That's Pick and Pop, no and, Pick N, letter N, Pop podcast. Guess who's back? Man, I haven't hollered at y'all since just after Thanksgiving night, I believe. So it's been a lot. It's been a lot going on, personally and professionally. All good. Nothing bad. New job, new apartment, a lot of moving pieces here. So I had to take a little bit of time to focus on that and get that back up and running. So we're back in the new crib. We got a new gig. Everything's looking on the up and up. So now I could finally get back. And I was kind of contemplating of when to jump back in. Like, you know, you don't want to jump back in with a pod and it's really like dead vibes and not really juicy to talk about. So you know what the NBA did. And more importantly, you know what two of my favorite people to talk about on this podcast did. They say, yo, Sam, we got you. On MLK Day, we going to bring that smoke. And that's what happened, because you had the point fraud and the Kia jumper playing on MLK Day. And they said, if that's not enough, we're going to be peak fraud city one last time for you. We're going to give you one last meaningless alley-oop for you to jump back into the podcast game and do a new episode of the Pick a Pop podcast. And I'm very thankful for the fraud, the point fraud, and I'm very thankful for the Kia jumper for hooking me up, because they absolutely did that. They were out there at the fraud center, the point fraud making his return to the fraud center, and the Kia jumper was hype. And the Kia jumper was in peak antagonistic mode. He was here for the shade. He was here for the petty. He was here for the drama. And the point fraud, in true point fraud fashion, responded in kind. He was also there for the petty, for the shade. And that in lies why they never were able to do anything together, and why they're equally tragic apart. But the story is hilarious. Let's not get too deep into my shade and the way I loathe both the Kia jumper and the point fraud. Let's get into these jokes. Because, dog, they tried to run up in the locker room. The Rockets took that L at the fraud center and tried to run up on the Kia jumper, on Doc's boy, and the rest of the locker room. And the one they weren't trying with Pat Bev. They didn't want no smoke with Pat Bev, smartly enough. Pat Bev was ready for that action. You saw him in the clip on the sideline. He was ready for that action. But, you know, Austin, your man's Austin, Doc's boy Austin, does a lot of chirping. I'm not sure who's more hated in the league. Is it Austin or the habitual nut-hitter Draymond? I'm not sure who players loathe more in the league. Like, who really rides for Austin Rivers? I've never seen anybody ride for Austin Rivers. At least Draymond's got a couple dubs to back him up. He's got David West. I mean, that's pretty significant. But Austin Rivers, who really rides for Austin? I don't know too many people who do. I haven't seen a public defending of Austin Rivers. Not even a Kia jumper. So the fact of the matter is, Rockets take that L. Point fraud gets his numbers, but takes that L at the fraud center. very much like a microcosm of his whole entire Fraud City career. Trevor Ariza wants that smoke with Austin Rivers. Blake Griffin, aka the Kid Jumper, jumps in and does what he does best, which is instigate and antagonize the whole situation. Gets thrown out. Trevor Ariza, apparently about that life, wants to run up on the locker room. Point Frost says, you know what, I got you. There's a secret hallway, not a secret tunnel. You know, I know Twitter, NBA Twitter was so crazy Monday night. It was one of the best nights on Twitter in a very long time. When stuff like that happens, you have to be on Twitter. You have to be watching where the tweets are going, where the memes are going, just the innuendo and the jokes fly. And that's what Twitter is to be still the king of all social media apps. And that's why, because you had jokes flying left and right. But the main thing is, there's no secret tunnel. There's no secret tunnel at Staples. There is a back hallway where you could kind of divert away from the public and connect to the opposing team's locker room if you want to holler at your boy or your mans or whatever the case may be. So that's what happened when it came to the point where I said, look, I know a secret way to get to the Fraud City locker room. So Ariza, Point Fraud, robbed, underrated, Mount Rushmore, slam dunk champion, Gerald Green. Oh yeah, and the beard. Wanted to go get that smoke with the Clippers. They wanted that, well, Ariza wanted that smoke with Austin Rivers. So they run up in there. And as with most NBA fights and most, you know, sports in general, nothing really happens. But the fact is that the story is that your man's Clint Capela. He's played the way that the Rockets needed Dwight Howard to play in Houston. So Clint Capela has now become like a mainstay. Allegedly, they used him as a distraction to go to the front door of the Fraud City locker room to kind of distract them from the fact that the point fraud was leading the other three through the back way. But to me, I think Capela was just not in the mix. He just wasn't aware of what was going down. He was just rolling up like, oh, we're going to go check them? All right, let's go through the front door. And he probably got the door slammed in his face. I mean, would you know Clint Capela if he rolled up on you? If you answered the door and you saw a really tall dude standing there, would you even know that was Clint Capela? I would sling the door in his face too, because I don't know who the hell that is. And I don't need no tall dude looking like that running up in my crib. So I would not be opening the door for no Clint Capela. So I can't blame the frauds to the Fraud City for, you know, not letting Clint Capela through the front door. And who knows if he's even about that life too. Because again, it's the NBA. So you're not sure who's really about it and who's not. For every David West, you know, there's a bunch of other dudes who really don't want that smoke. For every Oakley, for every James Johnson, there's a bunch of other dudes who talk a good one, will push, will shove, like the habitual nut hitter, like the Kia jumper, and they really won't do anything in the end. The pettiness between the point fraud and the Kia jumper, Trevor Ariza, Austin Rivers, all of this is happening on MLK Day. So you have the point fraud after the game, leading, like I said, leading the beard, Gerald Green, and Trevor Ariza through this underground tunnel like he's Harriet Tubman. And he got to the locker room, and in true point fraud fashion, he wasn't even the first one through the door. Ariza kicked in the door waving the 4-4. But now, you know, everybody's backtracking. Now, you know, people are saying it wasn't really the point fraud. He was kind of playing the background. He was just more of trying to calm down Ariza. Dog, you don't lead your mans down this shortcut to appease things. If you out somewhere and your mans wants to go and holler at somebody, and you're trying to defuse the situation, you don't give your mans the quickest way to get to said dude that nobody else knows about. That's not how you diffuse. That's called turning it up even more. That's hyping it. That's amping it. That's instigating it. Like, oh, word? Well, if you really want to holler at him, yo, I played here for like 6 years. I know this building. There's a secret way. We can be right at his locker within minutes. If you really want that smoke, we can go holler at homie. And then, you know, that's how it is. Like, that's not diffusing. That's not shutting it down. That's not being a bigger man. That's not looking past this. Let's move on to the next game. No, that's not. That's no. You really want to see dude? Let's go see dude. Clint, we'll be back. And Clint thinking, oh, they're about to go holler at these dudes. He go to the front door. Amazing. I mean, it's jokes, man. It's just jokes. You can't take any of it seriously. In the end, none of it really means anything outside of we had a hell of a night on Twitter, and that story is going to live on for a minute. I think 5 years from now, we'll still be talking about, you know, the underground tunnel. The second most important underground tunnel in Black history. It's a point for our leading the beard, Joe Green, and Trevor Reza to go get that smoke with Austin Rivers. So in the aftermath of that whole return to the fraud center for the point fraud with the Kia jumper was the fact that after that, the next day, you know, DeAndre came out, you know, allegedly, through your man Stephen A. DeAndre wants out. DeAndre doesn't want to be in LA anymore. DeAndre wants to be in Houston with the point fraud because, you know, when has he been more valuable than when he's catching the meaningless alley-oops from the point fraud? That's when he seems to be the most engaged. That's when he seems to be the most valuable. He gets the most notoriety is when he's catching them alleys. He's setting them picks and he's getting those, you know, those blocks. So here's the deal. If you're H-Town, excuse me, Fraud Town, now that the point fraud's there, is DeAndre Jordan that much better than Clint Capella? Now, the automatic easy answer is yes, right? Yes. But what are you getting more that Clint Capella is not giving you right now? DeAndre's probably a better defender, right? Is he better on those pick and rolls? I don't know. Capella's fit in, like I said, he was supposed to be what they thought Dwight was going to be, playing with the beard, is what Capella has turned himself into. Which basically, yo, set this pick and run to the rim. That's all I need you to do. Set this screen and run to the rim. You're not getting the post up. You're not getting any of this stuff. Your job is to shield my man. And if I get doubled, I'm throwing this alley. You catch it and dunk it. That's your only job. And hit these boards too. That's DeAndre Jordan's whole career in a nutshell. Set these screens, set these picks, roll to the rim hard. Now defensively, he's more established. He could defend the post, he could block shots. But everything else, it seems to be pretty even with Clint Capella. Clint Capella's younger, cheaper. Why would Houston give up anything relevant to go get DeAndre Jordan? And do they have anything? You can't do a straight swap. The contracts don't match. You can't do Capella for DeAndre. The contracts don't match. So what else is Houston going to dangle out there to go get DeAndre if that's really what they want to do? If you're the point fraud, you really want to bring in DeAndre? And the main thing has to be, will this help us beat the Warriors? If you bring in DeAndre Jordan, you think that's doing anything against a 7-game series with the Warriors? That's making no impact. Absolutely none. It won't mean anything. It will be a parallel move. A lateral move. A move that doesn't register anything. It might help you close out a team in 5 instead of 6 in the first or second round. But if you're trying to get to the Western Conference Finals and try to go toe-to-toe with the Dubs, DeAndre Jordan doesn't mean anything. Because all Draymond's going to do is stretch him out to the outside, make him defend the perimeter. Then he's on defense, he's useless. In offense, you don't got to worry about him unless he's setting a pick and running to the rim. So DeAndre could want to go to Houston. He could want to go play with the point fraud again. But if I'm Houston, why the hell am I going to go get him? He's not making any difference. No difference whatsoever. So imagine that you're DeAndre. You were going to leave. You were done. You were chilling with Cuban. It was a wrap. You were going to go to Dallas. And then they came. And they being the point fraud in the Kia jumper, along with Doc. And they took you hostage and made you come back. They lied to you. They said they're going to make you more intricate in the offense. We're going to run plays through you. You know what they meant by running plays through you? Set this damn screen and run to the rim. What was he doing before? Setting damn screens and running to the rim. But he got a couple of State Farm commercials and stuff like that. So he got, you know, he got a little bit more of a Q rating. He got gassed a little bit with that. But in terms of on the court, it's the same DeAndre. Your role's the same. Your impact is the same. Your stats are more or less the same. Nothing's changed. Now the point fraud leaves you. The one dude who would try to get you involved and get you the meaningless alley-oops. Now he leaves. Now you got Pat Bev. Now you got Austin Rivers as your point guard. Now you got Lou Will. Those are three dudes who ain't really trying to throw a whole bunch of alleys all night. And then you got the Kia jumper. So now you're running with four dudes who you know ain't going to feed you nowhere near like the one dude who made you feel like you were somewhat relevant. And now you're looking at how Fraud Town's doing even without the beard. And they getting W's out here. And the point fraud's now throwing these alleys to Clint Capella, who's a younger, cheaper version of you. Salty. Salty is what DeAndre is. He wants out. His career is made meaningful by running with the point fraud. And he can't get that shine. You know, it's just the old... You know, it's what Hope said in TakeOver. If sun don't shine, then sun don't shine. DeAndre ain't shining. So the sun can't shine in LA if DeAndre ain't shining. Only way he can shine is if he getting them meaningless alleys from the point fraud. So now that's where he wants to go. Problem is, Houston shouldn't, and I don't think, isn't going to make that happen. So that was the nightcap. All of that was just going on, you know, late night on MLK Day. So you had Clippers Rockets as the nightcap, as the finisher. Before that, it was Cavs Warriors. And Cavs Warriors is always going to be a draw. Cavs Warriors on MLK Day is always going to be something special. It was in Cleveland. All the important parts were playing. The Cavs were there, hanging with the Warriors, playing well for three quarters. And then the fourth quarter happened. And the fourth quarter was a bunch of horrible offensive possessions with LeBron on the court and off the court. Isaiah Thomas trying to prove something. Going all in. Hero ball. It's not Boston anymore, IT. It's not that time. You don't got to be hitting the wrist saying this. In Cleveland, they don't need you for that. But for some reason... He feels he has to do that everywhere he goes now. So that's what he is now. He's that guy. So now post-game, it's all about reports come out. Reports come out. Sources say. Insiders are saying this. Basically, there's a bunch of snitching coming from the Cavs locker room. The Cavs cannot wait to tell numerous media outlets how This team is horrible defensively. How Isaiah Thomas cannot defend the pick and roll. He's worse than Kyrie defensively. And that's saying a lot, which it is. But that's not a secret. By defensive metrics, Isaiah Thomas was the worst defensive basketball player in the entire league last year. Yet some people were clamoring for him to be MVP. But by defensive rating, he was, by far, the worst defensive player in the entire league last year. So it's nothing new. So it's not groundbreaking for any player to come out here and say, yo, y'all thought Kyrie was trash on the pick and roll or just trash straight up defensively. I think it's worse. Like, well, yeah. I mean, he's 5'9". What do you expect him to do? You know, the only dude that was really short who could D up was Muggsy Bogues. He was like 5'5". Muggsy could D up. Spud Webb couldn't D up. Nate Robinson couldn't D up. When you get that vertically challenged in the League of Giants, it's hard to play D. You got to have something, some sort of superior like AI. AI was short. AI wasn't no 6 feet, 6'1". AI about good 5'10". But he had them quick hands. He was quick. He was light. He could jump into passing lanes. He had quick hands to get to steal your cookies. He'd do all that. But he was very frail. He got bodied. He had to put on some weight. Didn't really materialize like how you thought it would, but he didn't have that frame to handle, to be a defensive presence. Now, Isaiah's got the stockiness, but he's still 5'9". And that's, again, that's the listed height. Real talk. Look at that, about like 5'7 and change. Yeah. 5'7 and change. You want to give him 5'8? Okay. Go ahead and give him 5'8. But he ain't no 5'9". So we kept saying, let's wait for IT. Let's not write the Cavs off because we haven't seen them with IT. And look, IT's only been back for a little bit here, but suffice to say, ain't gonna be enough, Jack. He ain't it. Now, I don't think it would have mattered anyway. You could have brought Boston level IT and plugged them in on the Cavs. I don't think that would have mattered against the Warriors. Like that's the main thing. Can they beat the Warriors? And the answer is still no. Now, Derrick Rose is on the way back. And Derrick Rose played well at times before he got hurt and then didn't know if he wanted to play again and went AWOL and all of that stuff. So, is now a good Derrick Rose, a rehabbing IT, enough? No. We talked about this. This is a cakewalk for the Dubs this year. The key is next year. So again, while it's great to have storylines and you need to kind of have to build some sort of suspense, there is none. The Cavs don't have it. Now, if they could go out here and flip this Nets pick to something, then we could be on to something. But I don't know who you're going to get on the open market. I mean, there's talk of DeAndre. I mean, DeAndre in Cleveland, he's better than Tristan Thompson, but is he that much better than Tristan Thompson? And if so, is that enough? No. So they need scoring, and they need big scoring. The problem with Isaiah is you need somebody who can expose Steph or Klay, right? Kyrie showed that he could body Steph and he could get his shot off on Klay. Isaiah is not bodying Steph, and it's hard for him, extremely hard for him to get his shot off on Klay. You're going to need an explosive wing, two guard or a wing, to go at these Dubs. DeAndre ain't no damn wing. You're not getting prime D Rose, and even prime D Rose might have a problem going up against the likes of Klay. Klay's too big. What about Lou Will? I've seen that bounced around on Twitter. You think Lou Will can step into the spotlight? I mean, he's definitely gonna get a shot off. That's what he'll go at Steph. He'll make Steph work, and Klay can't lock him. I mean, he just put a 50 on them last week. So Lou Will can get his shot off. Problem is, I don't know what else Lou Will can do. Is he just a better Korver? Cavs need scoring. Cavs need D2. And I don't know who they're going to bring that could play D and get buckets that you could just find and give up that Nets pick to go get. So let's get into the Bulls. Let's get into the Bulls. If you're a fan of the Pick and Pop podcast, and I am Sam Dusenberry, follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. Let's get into the Bulls. So, you know me. I am a fan of tanking. I am all about it, whether you know what you're doing or not, in terms of organizationally picking the right draft picks. I understand the process of tanking. I am in favor of tanking. If your league gives you a chance to rebuild quickly on the fly by giving you high draft picks for being trash, albeit manipulate the system. So the Bulls weren't going to win a championship after Rose took that spill against the 76ers all them years ago. That window was closed, right? So that window shut right then and there. Yeah, they had a couple of nice seasons after that. They had a couple of gutsy playoff performances, but the team was never the same. The window for a legit chance, not saying they were going to win one because they had to go through LeBron, but for a chance to legitimately be at full strength, to be capable of beating teams like the Cavaliers, that window closed when D-Rose took that spill against Philly. So after that, it was just a matter of, well, now what? They finally got D-Rose out of there. Jimmy Butler emerged. Luol Deng was sit packing. Joakim Noah finally played his last legs, left his legs in Chicago. Even though he's in New York, he left his legs, whatever's left of them, in Chicago. So the thing was, with Jimmy Butler as your best player, are you good enough to win a championship? The answer is no. It took the Bulls one season too long to figure that out. So they finally decided, you know what? Our best player is Jimmy Butler. We really don't have too much else. We tried to build around him, but even that at its peak is not good enough to win a championship. So they go to Thibodeau, as Tibbs is now in Minnesota, running the poor young knees of Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns into the ground, and we'll get to that. Do yourself a favor, go look up who's played the most minutes this year and tell me who the top three are. But we'll get to that. So the Bulls finally wave the white flag, right? Send Butler to Minnesota. You get back Chris Dunn, who you should have drafted the year before anyway, so you end up getting the guy who you should have got the year before anyway. And then you go get Lauri Markkanen. Now, I wasn't that high on him, but he's shown to be solid. Keyword there is solid. So, and then you get Zach LaVine in the deal. So you have three young pieces. Two unproven and one coming off of ACL. That's who you're deciding to do your rebuild around. That's fine. So, Markkanen was out here getting buckets early on. Chris Dunn was in and out of the rotation. Not sure what his role was. Very similar to how Thibodeau rocked with him last year. And the Bulls were awful. The Bulls were a joke. The Bulls were getting blown out by 49 points by the Dubs. And what was I thinking? This is exactly what needs to happen. This is exactly what needs to happen. Get blown out every night. Take all them L's. Get them lottery balls. Get the ping pong balls popping. And let's get a top three pick. That's all I'm concerned about. Because again, until you show me the product that's good enough to win, I'm not here to watch you be mediocre. Either be trash or be great. That mediocre 45 win stuff, I'm not here for it. That mediocre 30 wins and you know, being just outside the lottery, I'm not here for it. Be trash or be great. Too many years, the Bulls were happy being just barely above good or floundering around and being a 35, 38, 40 win team. Be trash or be great. Those are the only two options when you're running things. If you're going to fail, fail hard. If you're going to win, win to the highest level possible. Because what's the point? What's the point if it's anything in between? All those minutes, all those wasted efforts to be a 44 win team. What's the point? Be trash or be great. The Bulls were being trash, and it was awesome. Then all of a sudden, they tinker with the rotation. Hoiberg, who has to be on his last legs. And don't let this little win streak fool you. And don't let this little, the Bulls are playing better thing fool you. Get Hoiberg about the paint. So Chris Dunn starts to play. And Chris Dunn starts to play well because Chris Dunn is nice. But if the Bulls were smart, they would have kept him on the bench. Let's take all these. Look, we know Chris Dunn's nice. We wanted him last year. We were dumb enough and didn't draft him. So then we had to trade for him this year. We know he's nice. We see him in practice. We know he's nice. Let's keep him on that bench. Let him marinate on that bench. Let him make love to that bench 82 games. Just so we can get this high pick. Then once we get this high pick and we get a stud, then we bring Chris Dunn out the box. Then we bring him off the bench and let him flourish next year when we have a lot of high lottery pick to go along with Markkanen and now a fully recovered Zach LaVine. But oh no. Bulls want to give you the illusion that the rebuilding is already done. The Bulls want to show you that Fred Hoiberg can be a good coach. So no, let's get Chris Dunn started. Let's accelerate Zach LaVine's return. Zach LaVine is supposed to be back in February. He's already back playing. It's January. Why? Pressure. The Bulls were looking Brooklyn Nets-ish. They were. They were looking 11-12 win season bad. That's how bad they were looking, which was going to be phenomenal and was going to be exactly what the organization needed. But oh no. Let's get these meaningless wins. Let's keep beating up on the Knicks. Let's play like it's game 7 against the Bucks. Let's go all out against the Suns. Let's go to OT and beat the Heat. They're getting meaningless wins. Stop winning. For the sake of the long-term future of this franchise, stop winning. Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine are not a championship core. You don't have a number one option yet. And you can be hype on marketing all you want. I don't see number one option when I see Laurie marketing. I see maybe a third option on a championship team. Zach LaVine has the look of a number one. The potential of a number one. I don't think he a number one. Chris Dunn's going to be a good scoring point guard. Not a transitional, transformational point guard. Not the type of point guard that you could think could lead a team to a championship. You have a bunch of second and third options as your best players. Why are you saying the rebuild is essentially over? And even though publicly they haven't said it, they are saying it by winning too many games. Stop winning. You're not going to get a high pick. You want to flip Mirotić because he's come back. He caught that two-piece. He swallowed that pride and he came back, but he still wants out. He's playing well. You want a first round pick. Who gonna give you a first round pick for Mirotić? Again, a pick that will be a valuable first round pick. You could get a low first round pick, maybe. The Bulls have found a way. Garpax has found a way to even screw up the rebuild. They had a tailor-made tank season and found a way to screw it up. They had Dunn marinating on that bench, bruh. Marinating on that bench. And then they dusted him off and let him flourish like we know he can. And they're winning too many games now. Now they're in a low-key playoff hunt. If that team makes the playoffs, if they somehow, let me see, what seed are they potentially right now? I will look this up. Okay, so the Bulls are about 5 games back of the 8th spot right now. They're 17 and 27. They're 10 games under 500. That's not good enough. Or, if you want to look at it another way, that's not bad enough. Atlanta's 12 and 31. That's what I'm talking about. Orlando's 13 and 31. That's what I'm talking about. You need that. I'm 15, 20 games under 500. That's where the Bulls need to be. And they're going to mess around and screw this up. They're going to mess around and get the ninth pick. And it's going to be a waste of a year. They're going to finish with 30-something wins. And they're going to be outside the good part of the lottery. And it's going to mean nothing. This whole year of ineptitude, this whole year of mediocrity is going to be a waste. If you're going to suck, like I said, be trash or be great. There's no reward for being mediocre. Absolutely not. There's no reward for being mediocre. So even the Bulls, given the opportunity to be trash to later be great, have found a way to screw it up. So a couple things here before I wrap up. Look, man, this Paul Pierce thing has really gone out of control. This Paul Pierce thing is hilarious to me. Paul Pierce, who really values and views himself in a way that I don't, and most other people who watch the NBA don't, he was a great player. Great. And that's the key word there, great. Not immortal, not legend, great player, or very good. To me, great and very good are similes. Paul Pierce thinks he's a Hall of Famer. You think Paul Pierce Hall of Famer? I don't. Paul Pierce ain't no Hall of Famer. Problem is, the Hall of Fame has been watered down over the last few years. So dudes that aren't Hall of Famers have snuck in. So now the bar is low. Mitch Richmond's in the Hall of Fame. Mitch Richmond is in the Hall of Fame. So once Mitch let in, it's basically like open season to me. Like, well, then we must put it damn near everybody who's pretty good can get in now. So Paul Pierce probably going to make it. He shouldn't. Celtics want to retire his jersey. That's cool. You want to retire the number? A little shaky to me, but that's fine. I mean, he did win a chip. I mean, he needed a lot of help to get that chip, and he was nowhere close to winning one without KG and Jesus Shuttlesworth. But in the end, he got it done. He got a ring. Now, he wasn't great. It's not like he took his game to another level once he got help. It was the same Paul Pierce. So how great was he? He just had better help. It wasn't like he was the catalyst, like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, he got KG and Jesus and he realized, yo, I'm going to take my game to the next. No, it's the same dude. Same mid-range jumper. Same dude that somehow, some way, always seemed to get that quick first step to get to the hole and then fall all over the place to get an and one. He was the same dude, same play. He was staying mediocre on defense, kind of dude. The dude that thought, he said this, I believe, recently, like just before the new year. He said if he was, it's hilarious, just, okay, let me see if I can get through this. So he said if he was in his prime and LeBron was in his prime, he would have gave LeBron the business. That's essentially what he was saying. I'm paraphrasing. It's basically like, yo, if me and LeBron were in our primes at the same time, LeBron wouldn't have been going to 8 straight finals. Which is hilarious. Hilarious. Paul Pierce, nobody has a higher opinion of themselves than Paul Pierce views himself. And that's why when Draymond spit that ether, you ain't Kobe. You think you Kobe. They don't love you like that. That was that real. That was that real. That was verbal smoke. That was that smoke. You think you Kobe. You on a farewell tour. They don't love you like that. That's the best. That, I mean, look, you can't. I don't like the habitual nut hitter, but that might be one of the GOAT moment of trash talk. That might be the GOAT moment. And he had nothing to say. Pierce had nothing to say after that. It's that ether make your soul burn slow. I mean, it's real. When somebody spit that ether at you and you know it's hitting you in your core, you got nothing to say. You think you Kobe. They don't love you like that. I mean, remember, Kobe, every stop, every stadium he went to, every arena he went to, he got gifts. Rocking chairs and paintings and trips and all types of stuff. Did anybody that wasn't in Brooklyn or Boston do anything for Paul Pierce that last year when he was with the Clippers? Did anybody give him anything? Besides just getting booed? And marinating on that bench for the likes of Austin Rivers? It's wild. It's wild. So the whole thing with him and Isaiah is just hilarious to me because, you know, they're honoring Paul Pierce. And I kind of just feel like, yeah, that's fine. But Pierce is really in his feelings because I think he knows, like, how people feel. I think he finally realizes they really don't love him like that. The slander that he's received over this last week over this whole Paul Pierce night, should Isaiah get his video tribute during Paul Pierce night, people have really broken down how he was not that great of a player. And you know Pierce is reading it. You know, Pierce was out here saying, what was the slander he threw at Bron last year? What did he say? Kevin Durant was better than LeBron? He said that last year. And as much as I love KD, and KD has taken another step defensively mostly since going to Golden State, he ain't better than LeBron yet. He will be one day. Because, I mean, LeBron will get old. As hard as that is to believe, LeBron will get old at one point. And then KD will be the reigning and defending best player in the world title. He'll have that. But Paul Pierce is out here really mad and really in his feelings and really salty and petty that the Celtics are going to honor Isaiah Thomas, IT. And then Rondo came through with the ether saying you're going to go ahead and, ride with his boy. Paul Pierce is his boy. You know that they're only champions together, not apart. So Rondo backing up here saying, is that what we do around here? We celebrate dudes who take it to a conference, finals? Is that it? Which is a fair point. So that's the thing. I ride with both sides. I think IT should get something. Because he did bring them back to relevance. With a rookie head coach, a young coach in the league. Boy genius, Brad Stevens. Not that much talent around him. And he took that team to be the number one seed. And played his ass off. And his sister died and he still played. His tooth got knocked out and he still played. As somebody who's had oral surgery. I don't know how you had oral surgery and played ball the next day. I know I couldn't. So, for me, it's just, you want to give him a little video tribute? That's cool. If it just so happens to fall on Paul Pierce night, that's fine. Like, it shouldn't be a thing where only Paul Pierce can be honored on this night and it's not. Because Paul Pierce wasn't that good. It just wasn't. Paul Pierce was never a top five player. Paul Pierce was probably never... No, take out the probably. Paul Pierce was never a top five player at his position. But he think he Kobe. I mean, that one statement sums up his whole career and how he views himself. He really think he Kobe. He thought when the Lakers and the Celtics played those back-to-back finals, he really thought that was like some Magic Bird shit. He felt that. He felt him and Kobe was like some magic. This is going to be... No. No. Kobe's Kobe. There's levels to this, right? I think that's the thing. When you're really nice in your one area, sometimes you could be delusionally comparing yourself to somebody in a similar area. Kind of have to realize where your talent level is capped. Paul Pierce thinks he was right there. I mean, he thinks he could have stopped LeBron from going to 8 straight finals. He feels that way. He's super wrong, but he feels that way. But I also think IT should get, he should get his little video tribute too. So Paul Pierce should be honored by the Celtics because he's not going to be honored anywhere else. He can only be honored in Massachusetts. That's it. He don't got it like that nowhere else. He thought he did. You think you Kobe. So I can understand why he's petty. Because this is my only chance to really be honored the way I think I should be honored. But then you can't take that time and then be like, all right, but IT can't get no shine. He can't get a look. It's extenuating circumstances. So just let the little 90-second video tribute run during the game. Your ceremony's after the game. What's the problem? It's not like they're going to cram it all together. IT's video tribute will happen during the game. Your jersey's not getting put up in the rafters till post-game. What's the issue? Very petty from Paul Pierce. Very petty. I understand why he's petty. Because he think he Kobe. He think he Kobe. So I understand why he's petty. But let IT get his little 90 seconds. It's not that serious. Because you can't do it after this. You can't. This is the last time the Caps are coming through there. You can't do it next year. Can't. So it has to be done. So just do it. Don't listen to Paul Pierce. IT tried to be the bigger man, pun intended. And, you know, said it's all good. But if I'm the Celtics, I just give him this little 90-second video tribute and be done with it. Paul Pierce, be damned. You're getting a jersey in the rafters, bro. You're not just getting a little video tribute. You're getting your number in the rafters, which is debatable that it should even be up there. I mean, Paul Pierce isn't even a top 10 Celtic. You keep it a buck. Like, low key. Like, I could definitely say Kevin McHale is better than Paul Pierce. And I might even, you know, I'm looking at Robert Parrish like, the Chief might be better than Paul Pierce, a better Celtic than Paul Pierce. I don't know. But I know who don't think that. Paul Pierce. Because he think he Kobe. And keeping with that same generational player, Paul Pierce, man, your man's T-Mac, man. T-Mac finally got some pants that fit. And he got his Hall of Fame induction and all of that good stuff. But man, he's out here really took a while on ESPN, man. So there's been rumors about the unibrow, Anthony Davis. There's been rumors about maybe Boston trying to be in the mix and trading for the unibrow. Makes sense. You can make a plausible argument for both sides, but in reality, it's not going to happen. So, but that doesn't stop your man's T-Mac, though. Your man's T-Mac went out there, basically was like, look, if you can secure DeMarcus Cousins, if you can secure Boogie long-term, because Boogie's contract's coming up, if you can secure Boogie, then yeah, you flip Anthony Davis for young pieces. And I'm just like, what the hell is Tracy McGrady saying? What eye is he saying that out of? I don't know what eye he's looking at, but, you know, I don't know what eye to look into. And I don't know what eye he's looking out of. But ain't no way he's looking at the same thing I'm looking at. Because Boogie and Unibrow is something you don't get. You don't even get that in a video game. You can get that in real life. All you need is one more piece away. And that's what the Pelicans need to figure out is, how can they get one more piece? If you get rid of one of those dudes, then it goes back to what they used to be by themselves. Like, you go back to, you know, Sacramento Boogie and New Orleans Unibrow. Same deal. But you put the two of them together, it's like, god damn. You see the potential. And they've played well. And they've played well together, more importantly. So I don't know what the plan is. I mean, right now, they're the sixth seed in the West, the Pelicans. Sixth seed in the West, which means something. And they could probably catch the OK3. I won't get into OK3 this pod. But we got to talk about the OK3 next pod. So next week, yeah, we'll get into that. But the Pelicans are the 6th seed, 23-20, 3 games over 500 in the West. And I will keep reiterating that, in the West, because that does mean something. So, they're over 500, they're playing in the West. Boogie and Brow are playing well and playing well together. Rondo's in the mix, Holiday's in the mix. They look okay. They're one piece away. They're one stud away. How are you going to get that stud if you have to give up Unibrow? Doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know how, you know, T-Mac, that's the thing. We give players certain leeway because they played. Just because you can do something well doesn't mean you can also do other aspects of it well. Like, just because you were a great player doesn't mean you're a great evaluator of talent or a curator of how to put a team together. You can say all the right cliches. You can give me examples, but that doesn't mean that you know specifically how to do it. And T-Mac just shot down whatever chance he might have thought he had at being a GM by saying trade Unibrow and keep Boogie. Asinine. And that'll do it for this edition of the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D. Use the hashtag Pick and Pop to keep up with the show, to comment on the show, to find out when the show is posted. SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports is where you can find the show on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Apple iTunes, search Pick and Pop, Pick and Pop, Pick and Pop, no, and Pick and Pop Podcast. Good to be back. Glad that I had a chance to be back. Took that time off to get a lot of things straight now, so we're back in the mix. We're good to go. And you'll be getting more pods weekly. You know the deal. Every Friday, Saturday, I'm here for you. Later.